What's up, guys? Welcome back to Kind of Funny First Impressions. I'm Tim Geddes, joined by Barrett Courtney.
What's up, Tim? I'm so fucking excited, man. I was
like, how long is he going to go? I hope he just keeps going forever, man. We are talking about Crash Bandicoot 4. It's about time, and ain't it the truth? It is about time, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, this game provided by Activision, the demo at least, provided by Activision for us to try out. Very, very thankfully, they reached out to us and let both of us play the game, play three different levels of Crash Bandicoot 4. It's about time. Technically, it's two levels and a bonus level. We'll get into all the nitty gritty later because this is Kind of Funny First Impressions. It's where we give our first impressions of the latest and greatest video games coming out. You can watch this show on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or you can listen to it too on your favorite podcast service. Just search for Kind of Funny First Impressions. If you're searching for it, it might be an orange album cover that says debatable with Jared Petty's face on it. For some reason, there's some glitch on Apple Podcasts.
Yep.
Hopefully that gets out of the way at some point. I think that subscribing and unsubscribing and resubscribing might help. I don't know.
I looked at the top 100 list under Leisure, and it's still popping up as the orange Jared Petty. So just look for Jared Petty's face.
And it'll be there. Kind of funny first impressions. Anyways, let's get into it, dude. Crash Bandicoot 4. It's about time. Now, I want to start. I got a about hour-long developer walkthrough. Ooh. Where he walked through just the first level that we got to play. And then there was a Q&A. We got some questions. He gave us a whole bunch of facts and stuff. And then we got to actually play the game ourselves, like all weekend, like you and I have been doing. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say that this game reminds me of two other video games. And this is going to sound like an insane compliment, and I mean it that way. It reminds me of Sonic Mania.
Whoa.
And Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze.
Oh, Tim, I think you're putting the hype out there. I want you to know that, you know, people are going to hold you accountable for this amount of hype that you're putting out there. But here's the thing.
What's the thing?
I agree with you. I fucking
agree.
There you go.
Now, I want to be clear before we really get into it that the Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze aspect of it isn't necessarily the level of quality of the game. Because I think Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze is just one of the greatest platformers, period, of all time.
Absolutely.
And there's something about it being tight and accessible, and like anybody can play that game and absolutely love it. This isn't that. Mm-hmm. That's why I also bring up Sonic Mania. But the point about Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze is taking a older style of game, these like 2D platformers, but still making it feel new and modern, but still retaining what made the classic feel so good.
Exactly.
And the Sonic Mania side of it is obviously kind of going back and understanding that there's a type of game that's old. Sonic the Hedgehog, 2D Sonic games have their pros, have their cons. We all understand. But there's people that have nostalgia and love for the way those games feel, the way those games kind of issue challenge and focus on not necessarily always speed, but if you're really good, maintaining speed. And Mania was such a great job of this game's being made by fans. This game's being made by people that grew up playing these games and are trying to show honor and pay homage to what the 2D Sonic games did best. That's exactly what Crash Bandicoot 4 is doing for the Crash Bandicoot series. This is unapologetically a Crash Bandicoot 1-3 sequel.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it's crazy because when you, Dorno, and I reacted to the reveal and stuff like that, we were wondering what is this game going to be? What is it going to feel like? Like we're talking about like concerns of like how some things look, but still excited about like everything that they're introducing, all of these different masks that introduce powers. Is it going to feel gimmicky? All of this stuff. And I was honestly blown away by how much I liked the demo, like the levels that we played. So yeah, like I was playing it so much over the weekend. And it was crazy of just discovering like how, especially like going back, I had recently played through Crash 1 and a little bit of Crash 2 in the Insane Trilogy recently. And it was one of those things where I was like, holy crap, like they really, like this feels like it could have been an OG Crash Bandicoot game from the PS1 era. And I mean that in like the best possible way. Like if you're a fan of Crash Bandicoot, this truly feels like what should have been the next step for Crash after Crash Warped. And so that's where I'm at. I know you're a little more read up on like Crash after the fact, but like, that's more like my mainstay was the original three games, and that's pretty much it. So as someone who really likes Warped growing up and then becoming a huge fan of all three games from the Insane Trilogy, this feels like a natural next step that doesn't feel super gimmicky in any way. That's they're just trying to get a cash grab here. Like it does feel like a natural step for Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah, definitely, man. I feel like it this very much is Crash 4. Mm-hmm. But I know you weren't exactly saying this, but to be clear, this doesn't feel like it would have been possible on PS1. And I'm not even just talking graphically. There's just design choices and some things that they're doing with this game that I really, really appreciate, because they took the magic of the animation of Crash, just like the way that he starts to run, and it like has this kind of like Looney Tunes-esque like magic to it, and they take that and enhance it throughout all the character designs, the enemy designs, like the way the death animations, obviously, like these core iconic Crash things. But there's so many like nice little quality of life things that add into, for the first time ever, I feel like I'm fully in control of Crash. It still feels like he should feel, which granted is kind of wrong.
Interesting.
Like the OG Crash games don't necessarily feel good to control. You never feel like you're fully in control of Crash. You know what I mean? Like, it's not Mario. Like, he has a weight to him that and slide to him, and like things that are different, especially back on the original Crash games with the D-pad.
Yeah.
You're moving around a 3D space with a D-pad. Mm-hmm. Even in the Insane Trilogy, you could use the analog stick, but like it felt like he was mimicking D-pad motion.
And,
right?
and it definitely was that. And I think that was like something that kind of took me, it caught me off guard, definitely, playing the demo, because I was playing the Insane Trilogy recently. It was one of those things where I was caught off guard of like it was just subtle little things where I noticed like how reactive he was to move and stuff like that, and like the way he jumps and stuff. I was like, oh, this feels different, this feels weird, but compared to the Insane Trilogy. But I think that's just because I have that so fresh in my mind that it was interesting of like, oh, it does feel like an actual like modern control scheme almost in being able to control Crash.
And it's funny because I feel like this game does such a good job of balancing gameplay to keep every single moment feeling engaging and worth it, and not just like, oh, I want to get to the next part. Mm-hmm. The balance between the 2D sections and 3D sections feel better than they ever have. Mm-hmm. There's little subtle tweaks, like now when you're in 2D, you can actually use the right stick to control the camera to look for hidden crates or look for Wampa Fruit or stuff. And it's always something that I've wanted control over in the other games. Mm-hmm. And another thing is the idea of depth of field. Understanding where you're jumping has always been a big problem in the Crash games.
Absolutely.
Because you don't know exactly how far your jump's gonna be or whatever. And now there's like this little yellow circle underneath you and a red circle underneath the enemy. So you always know where you're at. And at least in the version we played, you can't turn that off, which is, I think, it doesn't look that pretty, and it's not that aesthetically pleasing.
It doesn't like really like pop out. Like it didn't like show out to like, oh God, that's so hideous or gross. But it was like very a very helpful thing, which I'm sure they'll tweak around with before launch and stuff. But I will be interested to see if they use that as a selectable thing that you can turn on and off. I can't imagine why anybody would want to turn it off. Cause yeah, like that was
it's so helpful.
It is so helpful. And that was something like when I was playing Crash 1, it was especially those rickety bridge levels where I was like, I have no idea where I'm about to land right now. And so I instead just used the handrail glitch where you can just walk on the handrail.
Run on it, yeah.
Exactly. That was something, it caught me off guard and actually like fucked me up a little bit when I was first playing through it, because I was like, oh God, what is that? And that made me miss a couple of jumps just because I was distracted by it. But once you get used to it, it is so helpful, especially with what you're saying, like the 3D ones where you're behind Crash and he's running away from you technically. Like those segments always in like the Insane trilogy, especially, were just like so hard to like gather like how far you were actually jumping. And now it's just so helpful, especially when you have these puzzles where you can slow down time and have to do certain jumps in a certain amount of time before you fuck it up and fall to your death. So it was like a subtle thing that I was like, oh, I didn't expect that in this game. But thinking about it more, I'm like, oh yeah, that's actually really, really helpful.
I am very, very surprised at how committed this game is to not changing what people like about the old Crash games and actually what makes them the Crash games, even if it's things people didn't like, but committing to it and designing a game around those challenges. Like, knowing that his first jump is going to be a short hop, but it's going to be a lot quicker. The second jump gets you higher, but you're going to get more airtime. And a lot of the times, the platformer player in you is going to want to just always double jump.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like always, whatever. You can't do that in this. It's like, there's so many times it's about speed and it's about getting across the area because things are falling at the right times. And the way these levels are designed, and this is kind of the Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze thing in me, where I'm like, wow, they really designed all of the levels we played specifically around his moveset that Mario couldn't do this. This has to be a Crash thing. Like this is designed around the challenges and obstacles that Crash is fun to play through, right? And when you add on the different mask powers, it never feels, at least so far, like too much is going on. So some new kind of maneuvers that Crash has. First off, it very much feels like his moveset's based off Crash 2, which is such a fantastic call. You have the slide, and then you have that slide jump, which is so satisfying. You can hit R1 and you do that sweet slide jump, and it's just like, it just feels right. Mm-hmm. Do you agree?
I've always been bad, especially with like sliding under things and then doing the jump. I've always been bad at that timing, but yeah, it definitely feels more attuned to the Crash 2 moveset for sure.
Yeah. So there's the Crash 2 moveset that you got going on, but now there's these new masks, and they're still Aku Aku, and it works and functions the same as the original.
And they'll still give it to still give them to you once you die a bunch of times, which I definitely did.
Is gonna happen.
Yes.
But yeah, so you get Aku Aku, and it's the same thing where you get an extra hit before you die. If you get two of them, it's kind of like the star in Mario. Mm-hmm. But there's these other masks. There's four masks in the game. In these demos, we only got to see two of them. They give you different powers. One of them is Kapunawa. Lets you control time. Mm-hmm. And you get the suit on. It doesn't give you an extra hit. That's a key thing to keep in mind. So it just kind of gives you a different button to be able to do stuff. For Kapunawa, what you get to do is slow down time by hitting R2 and or triangle. And what there's gameplay puzzles that they add with this, but most of the puzzles function around the people trying to 100% the game. Mm-hmm. Like the people trying to get all the different crates. And that is another thing that they're really nailing. People love the original Crash games for the gems, collecting all the crystals, all the gems, all the different stuff. And there is so much in this. Now there's hidden gems in the level you can find. There's getting a gem for getting all the crates. There's a gem for getting a certain amount of Wampa fruit. You don't need to get all of them, but
interesting.
Like, one of the levels was like 900 that you had to collect.
Yeah,
these are lanky levels, too. And then there, you get a gem if you beat the level dying less than three times. Like, there's a ton of stuff going on here.
This is
going
to be a collector's dream. And like something that I was also thinking about is, I wonder if this is going to be like a speedrunny game. Because like I think it's
relics are back.
Yeah, and like I think it's really cool it'll be really cool to see like how speedrunners try to take to this because there's so much going on. And yeah, these are lengthy levels, so like I would love to see, especially like I felt so fast in some segments where I was like, I was getting it down, I was getting the puzzles down, and I was like, damn, I can't even imagine how some people are gonna try to like break the physics almost and like get around puzzles and shit like that. It's gonna be really cool to see.
And then the other mask we got to use was Loni Loli, which allows you to phase shift elements in or out of existence. Mm-hmm. And that is a perfect example of the rhythm of this game.
Oh, yeah.
Where some other moveset additions are, he can grind on rails now. It's very Sonic.
Yep.
He can swing on ropes, which we didn't get to do in the demo, but they said that that's going to be in the game as well.
Gotcha.
And adding those all together, there are definitely every segment has its own kind of rhythm and its own pacing.
And yeah, there's one specific segment when you get introduced to the phasing mask that feels so good in the dinosaur level that we played, where you get introduced to it, you kind of put it together, and it's so satisfying to figure out of like the cadence of like dropping down on the vine, getting underneath the vine, and also phasing out items and in items and shit, and then dropping, jumping back on top of the vine, and then jumping over rocks, and phasing out mushrooms and all this stuff. It feels like it's so much at once, but then, like, after the first time, you're like, okay, I think I can do that. I think I can, like, really get it and collect everything and stuff like that. And that's something impressive that I just want to shout out of, just, like, that you were saying earlier, of, like, they have a good balance of, 2D and 3, the 2D aspects and the 3D aspects. There's also a good balance of just, like, how addicting it is to try to get everything once you first get somewhere, and it doesn't feel like you're, like you said earlier, it's like, oh, I want to get to the next fucking thing. Like, sometimes I had that just because I knew I was doing like some sort of puzzle wrong, but there'd be other times where I was like, okay, I don't need to get those four boxes on the cliff above me while these like ice shards like drop down and I need to slow them down. That one is so hard, and I tried times, and it was so damn satisfying when I did it, man.
All you got to do is go to the right side and then go back left. Don't try to hop up, and it makes it so much easier.
And that's the kind of fun thing I just want to shout out is the kind of third level that we got to see, which was a different path of the first level that we played, which was this ice level. And in the are we allowed to talk about the first half of the level who we get to play as?
Yes, we are.
Yeah. So in the first half, it's you play as Neocortex, and he's got a completely different moveset. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But then halfway through, you phase back to Crash's segment, and you play the second half of the level with Crash, but it's all like remixed, and there's all these new challenges and puzzles and shit like that. And again, this is going to be another collector's dream of like, oh my god, there's so many things to do in all of these levels, especially when you go back to them and repeat them. It's going to be so cool.
So I'm just going to jump into a couple facts here, because these are some things you don't even know, because it's what I got from the developer walkthrough, and it's pretty cool. So there's four masks in the game that give you the different powers. We got to see two of them there. The Cortex level, at least when we played, it wasn't clear if all the Cortex levels are going to be like this or just this one, but they're optional. Like, these are they're like bonus challenge levels.
Gotcha.
So throughout the entire game, you can play as Crash or Coco. They're both equally involved in the story. No gameplay differences between the two of them, but you can choose either. You can switch between them. It doesn't matter. The game also has two modes. There's Modern and Classic. We got this in the demo. And Classic is essentially just there for people that are purists of Crash and are like, we're doing it. The game is not designed to be played that
and
way.
And it is so,
very much...
It's so hard. I tried to do that first level in Classic mode, and I'm just going to tell y'all now, just play Modern. If you're a purist and you're like, nah, I lift my nose at the idea of that, just try Modern, just try it, because I'm telling you, Classic is so hard.
I just feel like the game is designed around the Modern. So the difference being, you have lives in Classic, and if you died a certain amount of times,
and like when you get 100 Wumpa Fruit, you get an extra life and shit like that.
Yeah. Whereas in Modern, it kind of just incentivizes you to play through and do all the challenges, like try to get all the crates, try to get all the fruit, and where there would be a life box, there's now you just get like 20 Wumpa or whatever. It might be 10. I don't remember the number, but like you just get a lot of the fruit that adds up to your collecting. But it's like, I like it because it incentivizes me without being frustrating of wanting to do all the optional challenging stuff. And once you get to that checkpoint, you have all that. So it's just like, oh, this is so nice. I hated in the older games when I was trying to 100% it, I'd get to the bonus like little area and accidentally die. And it's like, well, shit.
Yeah.
If I want to do this again, now I need to go all the way back. And I get that like some people like that. I don't.
It's not fun.
Like the way that these challenges are designed reminds me of like Celeste, where it's like every little bit between each checkpoint reminds me of a room in Celeste.
Yeah, you're taking each part of the level just one step at a time, essentially.
Yep, and it's really nice because in Celeste, you can get through the challenge, but then there's the strawberries, and now you're going to go for them. And I feel like this game does that as well in these bite-sized bits in these levels that are really long, but each bit isn't that long. Mm-hmm. So if you do die and you've done it now 20 times, it's never that frustrating because it's kind of like, okay, I got to do the same thing again for the 15th time, but that's only 20 seconds of doing something.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And like, I like that type of game design so much. But the cool thing is you can change it will and it won't affect your collection percentages.
Interesting.
So as you're playing through the game, you can try classic, get as far as you want, switch to modern on a hard level that's bothering you if it's frustrating, and you can go back and forth. So that's gotcha. Pretty cool. So Cortex. So his levels are interesting because it seems like, and again, this is where it was a little unclear for me of whether there's Cortex levels that are in the main game itself,
yeah,
or if they're just bonus things. So he plays completely different than Coco or Crash. Mm-hmm. He only has one jump, and he has a blaster that functions very similarly to Samus's blaster, mm-hmm, where you can kill people, but then also you can like freeze them.
Yeah.
So it's like you can then use them as platforms. Mm-hmm. You also have a dash attack,
yep,
that's like very like modern 2D Sonic, where you can kind of just like shoot across the level.
And he like I don't know if you said this, he doesn't have a double jump, I think. His yeah. jumps are also like way like smaller, just because he's a tiny dude with a very big head. And yeah, it was one of those things. It was like, again, I was thrown in for another loop where I was like, I don't like how do we get around this level as him? And then but by the time I got to the end of his segment in that level, I was getting the hang of it. So like I went back and did his section over again, and it felt so good once it all clicked in place. Of like changing. So like each time you shoot like an enemy that's intended essentially to be a platform, there's like the rock platform that you can just use to like jump and stand on. And then if you shoot him again, it'll turn into like this weird plasma platform where it makes it very bouncy, so you can jump really high. And yeah, like going through and the second time around and making sure to try to collect like everything felt really, really good. And I was impressed of how different he felt, but how it still felt at home within the game.
Totally. And I think that this Cortex section is the best example of this game in a nutshell, which is these levels are expertly crafted around the moveset this character has. The moveset is frustrating. And it's like, it feels authentically Crash Bandicoot, mm-hmm, which with that comes this level of, you're never fully in control, and it is precision, yeah, based on where your foot is, or else you're gonna fall in the water and die. Yeah,
and like that dash attack that you really need to like prepare, yeah, mentally prepare in your head before you do it, of like, okay, where am I actually going to land at the end of this? Because exactly. Yeah, like you said, it's precision based, which is why when I went back to it the second time around, I was like, oh, I love these segments, and I can't wait to see more of them.
So it's really cool stuff. But the idea of these optional levels is it shows you a different perspective of the main story. Mm-hmm. So for what we saw here is the first level we played, we got to play three levels. Mm-hmm. One of them was like a snowy level.
Yeah.
One of them was a dino run towards the camera level. And then the third one was Cortex in the first level.
Yeah.
So what happens is you play as Crash, and when you're playing the first level that we're talking about, you get to this part where you're about to cross a bridge that has a boat on it, mm-hmm, and then the boat like just randomly explodes and falls.
And it's never explained. You're like, okay, just like a random event in this level, whatever. And then you like,
but you see Crash. There's like a little exclamation point that goes, yep, above his head. He's like, huh?
Yeah.
And so that happened. So then you just go through the level and that's it. But when you play the Cortex version, you play as Cortex for a while, has separate challenges and all that, and then you see that he's the one that actually causes the bridge to the boat to fall. Mm-hmm. And that fucks up and changes what the level even could be after that.
Yep.
And then it kind of just gives you that second version of like Crash continuing on. And that's kind of just more like the, okay, here's the even higher challenge mode, mm-hmm, for the rest of this level. The level's, yep, the same, but now different colored crates or whatever are there.
Yeah, there's crates that like will spurt out fire and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And there will be like the time crates that you need to use the slowdown for in different areas to make some challenges harder. And yeah, it wasn't like this, oh shit, my mind is blown about like the new context of the story, but it's like cute little connections between,
it's all cute.
Yeah. Like Cortex and, yeah, Crash's journey, which I'm sure we'll see plenty more of, in the main game.
It just reminded me a lot of little subtle elements that I liked in the like 2D Sonic games, mm-hmm, where when you're going through a level and like in the background you see the boss approaching or whatever. And in the dinosaur level in this, it's like there are 2D moments where you're going and you see the dinosaur running and like you know that he's gonna get you.
Oh, yeah.
He busts through the wall and he starts running after you, and it's just like it just all of a sudden feels so authentically Crash. Mm-hmm. and like it's thrilling. Like running away from the camera. Is it ever fun?
No. But it was, like, this was, and this is like a joke that I've always made because I was streaming so many Naughty Dog games recently, and my joke was like, they got to remind you it's a Naughty Dog game because it's not a Naughty Dog game unless you run at the camera at some point for some annoying reason. And this was the first time, it's not Naughty Dog making this, of course, but this was the first time in any Crash game where it actually felt fun and thrilling because it's not just like a big ball running at you. It's like this fucking dinosaur that's like beautifully animated, doing all this shit, interacting with the environment.
It's fun, Looney Tunes.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Yeah. And this, there's another moment that we didn't get to actually see Cortex's side, but in this, you do see Crash have the exclamation point. He's like, huh? So it's like something causes an avalanche to fall and block the dinosaur.
Yeah.
So it's like, clearly, we're going to get to play Cortex's side and he fucks something up or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. So some other stuff that that's really interesting. We're going pretty long here. Well, we'll wrap it up soon. But I'm really stoked on this game. And again, it's Crash. It is what it is. Like, I don't know like if it's everyone's cup of tea, but I am happy you seem to be right in the same boat with me. Yeah. Where I'm like, holy crap.
I'm at the point, like, if you liked, I don't know if like you grew up with the Crash Bandicoot games, but if you played Insane Trilogy and you liked what that was, you're about to get like a little more juiced up version of those games that feels a little different but modern, and it's going to be fun as hell.
I easily expect this to be the best Crash Bandicoot game ever made.
And again, like I see it. Like I don't disagree that there's no way that I'm like, nah, Crash 2 or Crash Warped or anything. Like I see it, and I'm again, the more I think about this, like it's becoming one of my more anticipated games this year.
It's exciting. So October 2nd is when it's coming out. They're saying there's going to be a bunch of Easter eggs referencing the older games, which is cool and exciting to see. So they're saying there's going to be a ton of content. They didn't say amount of levels. They didn't go into details there, but they're just like, there's going to be a ton of content. We're really priding ourselves in like really making sure that this is a game that is worth the $60 price tag. They understand.
Like, just to reiterate, like the levels that we played at least were meaty. I think even in like my third time running through that first level and dying a minimal amount of times, like maybe like five times, it still took me like a good 10 minutes to get through that level just because there's so much going on.
I mean, yeah, well, for me, because I was always trying to get all this stuff, like it took me a lot longer than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And like these were long, chunky levels with a lot of fun stuff to do. Didn't feel padded out. Mm-hmm. They were saying that these levels are about halfway through the game.
Okay, yeah.
So for an idea, they're hard. They're hard.
Yeah, like this, and, this game is going to be tough, y'all. Just mentally prepare for it. Because I was not mentally prepared, and it like I was fucked up the first time I played it.
Yeah, when the dev, one of the questions that people asked him was, "Is this game going to be challenging?" And he was like, "Oh yeah, OG Crash fans." And he was so enthusiastic. He's like, "Yo, awesome. Like we know what we're doing here. Like there's we have to nail that." But they're also like, we understand that like Insane Trilogy was 3 games worth of levels and stuff, that we understand that there's a different context for this. And I don't know that it's $60 actually. I said that, but it might be 40. I don't know. I don't know the exact retail of this, but they're like, we are aware that this is, that we need to make sure it's filled with content. And with that, they said that there will not be microtransactions. And then they reiterated, there will never be microtransactions. There are in-app purchases. There are no microtransactions at launch or forever. So
nice,
very cool.
Good to hear.
Let's see what else we got. Okay, the last thing is the world map. There will not be warp rooms. It's going to be more like Crash 1. It's going to be something called the dimensional map.
I like
so
that.
You're kind of like going around something.
Going back to Insane Trilogy, I actually kind of prefer like seeing Crash kind of like go on this like actual journey instead of like the warp rooms from like 2 or 3, you know?
Yeah, see, it's weird. I love the warp room so much, especially in 2. But it's like I get that what they're going with this is like they don't want to limit it. They don't want it to just be like, well, okay, we have X amount of levels, so instead of having 5 floors of this warp room, there's gonna be 50 or whatever the hell. It's like, so I get it. And again, this goes back to the Donkey Kong Country kind of
vibe
where it's just like Crash Bandicoot 1, in my opinion, is much more a sequel to Donkey Kong Country than to like Mario.
Mm, yeah.
You know? And so to see them kind of now where they're at, I'm like, this is pretty cool. Yeah. I'm stoked about this. Very excited for this game. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned here to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames podcast services for first impressions, more of our thoughts on the upcoming video games, which there'll be many. Even on the Activision side, we got Tony Hawk, man. Ooh. We got Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 coming before this game.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's September. That's early. September 4th. And then a month later, we get a Crash.
We're getting the warehouse demo August 15th.
That. Oh, I forgot.
So.
Yes.
It's going to be a good time, man. It's going to be a good time. Anyways, till next time.